It is time to renew yourself. When Jesus provides healing or deliverance, it's time for you to step in and do what you and I need to do. Are you hearing me? If you go to John chapter 8, there is another place that Jesus has brought a woman who is caught in a sinful act, and everybody's ready to stone her. They weren't going to stone her just because they had a mind to. They thought they were doing the religious thing to stone her. In fact, they said to Jesus, "Moses said we're to stone her. What do you say?" Jesus stoops down, writes on the ground. You know the story. And finally, he says, without even looking up, "The person without any sin, cast the first stone." Jesus put a new twist to the command of Moses. I would like to get into all of that, but I need to go somewhere else. Jesus looks up at the woman and says, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They're gone." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and what? Sin no more." In other words, you renew yourself. How many of you know we can't save ourselves? You know that. But when he does the work in our lives, then it's up to us to take it and run with it. In Hebrews chapter 12, this is what the Apostle Paul says. And please understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason he's writing, and I say the Apostle Paul, not everyone agrees that Paul is the one that wrote this letter, but I think it sounds like him, and I attribute it to him. The writer is writing to a group of people that have lost their fervency. They have gotten tired of battling with pop culture. Pop culture can be very, very intimidating. It tries to dictate to us what we believe and how we believe and how we live. And that's what was happening to these folks in Italy. They were having a hard time as Christians living out Christianity. So Paul begins his letter by telling them about Jesus and how supreme Jesus is. And he reminds them of the worship as Jews that they had in the temple, all of the things they did. He said, "But now one greater than Moses has come." In chapter 11, he reminds them that they have folks' ancestry that has passed down to them important faith. Powerful faith. After he reminds them of their ancestry, he starts with this: "Therefore, since we," and listen to how he includes himself, "we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses or encouragers, let us," read it with me, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. I put it in there twice. I wanted you to see it again. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, fix your eyes on Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he what? He endured what? He endured the cross. He didn't enjoy it. Jesus did not enjoy the cross. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not what? Say that out loud. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Say that again. Not grow weary and lose heart. Say it again. Not grow weary and lose heart. Ladies and gentlemen, we can get tired of doing the right thing. It's easy to lose heart in this life that we have committed to Christ. It's really easy, ladies and gentlemen, to get discouraged and, can I use this phrase, get burned out. Everybody say burned out. Go to church, read your Bible, pray. Go to church, read your Bible, pray. Be good to everybody, have the right attitude. And pretty soon, we just want to scream at everybody. Look, I don't want to be good to anybody. I want to knock your block off. Am I preaching good already? Alexander the Great, a little short guy, conquered almost the entire known world of his time. In 334, he and his men were going against Persia, which is modern-day Iran. He had just taken Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. They had conquered so much. Listen to this. They had won so many battles, and they had taken so much plunder that when they got to Persia, they forgot that they were coming against one of the greatest armies on the planet. And history tells me that Alexander and his men almost lost the war. Do you know why? They had accumulated so much stuff that they couldn't fight. They were trying to fight and drag their spoils with them. And one historical writer, gave an excerpt from an eyewitness that said Alexander suddenly called his men to retreat and demanded they bring their loot with them. They piled it up and burn it. Because it was costing them their war. It wasn't that what they had with them was bad. It was that they were more concerned about the plunder they had than the victory they needed. Sometimes we can become so concerned about what we've got and what we've accumulated that we lose the vision for the victory. And our favorite line is, well, I've got enough. What else do I want? Ladies and gentlemen, there is another battle ahead of you. When you think you have finally made it and found the man or the woman of your dreams and you marry, oh, this is it. Then you move to the next one, have my first child, and they arrive and you're all excited. All of a sudden, all of these things become plunder and it begins to wear us out. That job we always wanted. Oh, if I could just get that job. And then it just becomes a weight. Am I helping anybody? That's what happened to the Christians in Italy who were getting this letter. You've allowed what you have won to become your hindrance. That's why Jesus said to the man, if you're going to follow me, get rid of everything you have and give it away. I've really battled with sharing this with you because I know the things that some of you have been through and are going through. And I'm going, but Lord, this is not encouragement. And just as clear, He spoke to me in the night and said, if you don't share this, they will not win the victory in the next battle coming. You can think all you want to that this is the time of rest and prosperity, and God will prosper you in tough times. But ladies and gentlemen, we are in the middle of the toughest war we have faced yet. So what does this mean to me, Pastor? This Hebrews 12, what does it mean? Renewal begins with repentance. If I'm going to run, I've got to change my mind. Alexander the Great's army had to change their mind about their spoil. It had to become nothing to them. Because they had to see that the victory ahead of them would provide them more than they were dragging around with them. Are you seeing this? So what we have to understand is that renewal begins with a change of mind. If we're going to run, Wednesday night after service, I was talking to Angie and Ethan about running, and I asked him, I said, do you have any pointers on running in the cold? And his mom said, he gets outside in this cold and runs without a shirt on. We don't want Dr. B doing that. That would not be cool. You may look good that way. I would stop cars. They would crash. Oh my God, there's a newspaper all crinkled up out there running. At least I'd be the first edition. And we begin to talk about how wearing too much can just slow you down, doesn't it? And it just wears you out and it makes it tough. Not just what you have on, but sometimes, listen, I don't know about you, but if the wind is blowing, if I have a headwind, oh my goodness, it takes three times the energy to run against that. Some of you have been running with too much. You're dragging too much around. You're trying to save everybody. You're trying to help everybody when you need to let it go and let God do it. Say this with me. I am not the Savior. I can't solve everybody's problems. You can be there and you can encourage them, but you're not the problem solver. He is. So for renewal to begin in me, I have to change my mind about some of the stuff I'm carrying around. I have to get light. I have to make sure the shoes that I wear are light enough that it's not going to drag me down. I have never seen anybody in the Olympics running a race in plow shoes. So how does this begin? It begins, verse 1 of chapter 12, throw off everything that hinders. Look at me. He's not saying get rid of sin in your life in this passage. He's saying things that hinder you. They're not wrong. You just don't need them. You need to get rid of. But pastor, there's more than just being a Christian in this life. Tell the person that's about to draw their last breath. I was in South Georgia years ago, and a young man had left the service that I had been preaching in and refused to give his heart to the Lord. And when he left the church, he left snapping all four gears. They only had four back then. Remember that, Charlie? They only had four gears. And on the fourth one, he lost control, hit a tree, and he's laying in the emergency room dying. J.E. Barber, the pastor, and I walked into the emergency room. The doctor said, he's screaming for the evangelist to pray for him. Go pray for him so I can help him. He won't be still. I went in there, Miss Lois, and I leaned down and I said, this is Jeff Burrell, I'm here. He reached up both hands, grabbed me by the hair of the head, pulled me down to his eyes, and his eyes flew open. He said, pray for me. I'm going to hell. Throw off everything because eternity is what matters most. Not the size of your house, the age of your car, the color of your hair, or the amount in your bank account. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Throw off everything that hinders. There are some places I'm not going to go. Not because I think I'll go to hell. I don't need to do that. There are things I will not do. Not because it's a sin. It can be a hindrance. It'll take up my time. It'll distract me. I don't need distractions. Do you? Throw off everything that hinders. Secondly, run with perseverance, verse 1 says, the race. Everybody say the race. If you don't think running a race can be like being at war, they ain't never run a race, have they? As you get close to the end, you feel like sometimes you're not going to be able to breathe again. You feel like your guts are going to come out. There is a race in front of you, and the scripture says you run with perseverance. You don't stop. You don't let anything. Oh my goodness. Don't distract me while I'm running. Because this race has been laid out in advance for me. Look at your Bible. It says, run with perseverance, the race set before you. Everybody say set. It was there before you started the race. You've just got to focus like Alexander had his men do. You have to focus on the victory. Thirdly, renewal begins with repentance. To run, I've got to fix my eyes on Jesus. But you act like that's all there is. Tell me something else. Tell me something else. Well, I got to have my eye on the goal. I already do. What is that goal? My dad used to say this when I was a little boy. And for those of you that remember S&H green stamps, you will understand this. People collected S&H green stamps to get things free. Remember that? My dad would say, sometimes I'm not in this thing for a book of green stamps. I'm in this thing for eternal life. I'm not in this thing for a free toaster or a free refrigerator or a free sofa. I am in this thing for eternal life. So I fix my eyes on Jesus. So why am I being told this? Why am I being told to live this way? I want you to please pay attention. This is important because of the battles that you and I are going to face. There are things that have happened, that's happened among us, that I've thought, Father, how did this catch us by surprise? And then I'd go back over the sermons I've preached over the years, and I remember saying, you're going to need this. You're going to need, remember me saying, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. And the Lord said, I warned them they were going to need that. You have to pay attention to what he's saying. Why are we being told this? Because he says, look at Hebrews 12:5. We've forgotten. You've forgotten. What have I forgotten? I've forgotten what he's done for me. I've forgotten the Lord. I've forgotten him. I'm busy pulling around as the army was, pulling around my loot. I've forgotten. I don't want to forget. Say, I don't want to forget. I do not want to forget. Secondly, we're being told this, verse 7. Look at verse 7. He said, because you've been given up too easily.
Whoa.
You've let things in this life hinder you. You've let people hinder you. You've let stuff hinder you. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got... No, the number one thing you and I have in this life is making it. We're forgotten. He said, you've forgotten. You give up too easy. But I get tired. That's why he said, listen to me, he said, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. What did he mean by that? The big picture. The finished product. Endured the cross. Look this way. Not everything you're going to go through in life is going to make you happy. Not everything you're going to hear is going to make you shout. Some things will scare the daylights out of you if you let it. I just suddenly began to think about things I've heard that just made me sick to my stomach. It was just surreal. But you can't give up easy. You keep going. Come on, push it, run. Let's get this thing finished. Thirdly, why are we being told this by the Lord today in Hebrews 12? I want you to listen. Because we haven't been submitting to God. What did he say in verse 9? Look at it. He said, submit to God. Everybody say, submit to God. Submit to God. What is he saying that for? Because they had stopped doing that. They'd started doing what everybody else was doing. They've been copying everybody else. They'd been following the pop culture of their day, and they were just tired of fighting it. Just really tired of fighting it. We haven't been submitting to God. We've been making our own plans. Fourthly, we're being told that we've got to, whoa, look at verse 12. Somebody read it out loud to me. What did he say in verse 12? What did he say? We strengthen your feeble hands. And what? Weak knees. In other words, where you used to be strong, you've gotten weak. You give in too quick. But I thought God was going to help me do that. No, we must strengthen the feeble parts of our spiritual body. We're not standing like we used to. We just give in. Well, you know, they said, stop giving in. How do I strengthen that? Through prayer, through worship, through praise, through His Word. And look this way. Sometimes I don't feel like it either. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Sometimes when I walk to the pulpit, sometimes when these musicians and singers come up to sing, they don't want to. And some of us, you can tell it on our faces, I'd rather be anywhere but here. And then when we come in, sometimes our face says, I'd rather be anywhere but here. You know what it took for me to get here tonight? You really ought to be giving me a $100 bill just for being here. It's really quiet this morning. But I forgot. I've started giving up too easily. I let my past stop me. I let my fear of the future stop me. I let fear of, I'm afraid I'm going to be like my uncle. I'm afraid I'm going to be like my granddaddy. I'm afraid I'm going to be like my mama. I'm afraid. You've forgotten who your source is. You're giving up too easily. You've not been submitting to God. We've got to strengthen those feeble parts. We've got to strengthen our arms. We've got to strengthen our knees. We've got to get strong. And is strength training easy? Is it rough? Does your body scream at you and go, stop? What does your coach say? Pick it up. Wow. This is why we've been told this. Watch this. Remember we read that there is a place for us to run that's been laid out before us? I hope you will study this when you get home, because some of you are getting it and some of you it's just over your head. We must correct the place we run. Don't run anywhere you want to. What do you mean by that? Find out what the will of God is for your life. Get in that place and run in it. And don't drag everybody else in the country along with you. Well, no, you just tell them about Jesus. You don't drag them along with you. Yeah, but if I don't, who is? They'll get a hold of it, and they'll go. Remember the madman of Gadara? Jesus cast the devil out of him, and he's wanting to follow Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? Go home. Go home. Some folks just need to go home and just act right. John 5 and John 8, go home, don't sin anymore. Stop talking about how bad you feel and how old you are and all that kind of stuff. And how I'm too young, nobody ever lets me do it. It's not just I'm old. Young people got, you know, if I could get old enough that I could do what I want to do, you will never get old enough to do what you want to do that won't get you in trouble unless God is leading you. Yeah, but if I could just start my own business, nobody tell me what to do. You don't know anything about business. You think working for somebody is bad? Wait until you have a bunch of customers and clients screaming at you, when you gonna get to me? I've been waiting on you 3 weeks. And they call you on your day off. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. What has to happen? You have to correct the place you run. You know what has to happen? You have to make sure that you keep the stuff out of the way. Keep the place clean. Wow. How do I do that? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that angels go before me and prepares the way. Some things I can't prepare myself. So, what does it mean? It means that it's time to renew myself. Because he's done everything he's going to do for me. The rest of Hebrews chapter 12 gives me a guide for living holy and living right and living in Christ. It doesn't mean I won't enjoy my life, but it means he comes first. See, the people in Italy were just like the folks that James was writing to. They'd just gotten lazy. They just let everything come in. They're going, we don't have to worship God this way. We don't have to do it this way. Oh, we can worship with those that are worshiping other gods. I mean, you know, we can't tell everybody they're just one God. I mean, everybody has their own religion. Everybody has their way of doing it. No, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. That's it, period. Settle that in your mind. Settle that in your heart. Some of you need to just take some time and be alone with the Lord and let him talk to you. You're around everybody else, and everybody else is telling you, you ought to do this, you ought to go see this one, and you ought to, I would, if I were you, I'd do that. If I were you, I would. Have you asked him what to do? He'll tell you. He will tell you. So since I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this confession. I'm going to say this every day. I'm going to say it to myself that I am going to be renewed, and it's going to stop with the changing of my mind. Say, I got to change my mind. You got to change your mind. Turn to somebody and say, change your mind. But you don't know what I've been through. Ladies and gentlemen, with all that the disciples had been through, all that the 120 had been through, Jesus said, go to the upper room and stay there until you're endued with power. All they did for 10 days is pray. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. Yes, you could. You could. But you don't know. I've got a lot of children. My mom, Joyce, she'd look at us and say, I'm going in here and pray. Don't you bother me. And you behave yourself, and there better not be anything broken when I come out. And this place better be as in the shape it is now when I'm going into the room. It better be like that when I come out. Well, we thought you spelled God, M-O-M. And we did it. But you'd go in the back room and pray. You have to make time. Stand to your feet, please. I want you to make this confession with me. Father, we make this confession in the name of Jesus Christ, and we declare that we are, read it, I am energized and not weary. I am encouraged and encourage others. I am nourished and nurture others. I do everything with excellence, even when alone. I worship and work until Jesus returns. That's how I'm renewed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word that you've given us today. We shout to the Lord and we sing. Power and majesty and praise to the King. Encourage through your word, Holy Spirit, these today. I have obeyed you, Father, and shared what you have said has to happen. If we're going to be renewed, we have to repent. We have to change our minds about how we are running this race. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you right now, Father. Those that are at war in themselves, those that are battling things inside, I thank you today that they do what Hebrews 12 says, strengthen their feeble hands and weak knees. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that those battles are won. And we don't hold on to things in this world. We let them go. As Alexander's army, we'll burn it if we have to. We'll let it go because you are first in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia, 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.